Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss, well, usually it's Timberwolves Gophers, right? Well, the Timberwolves have been on a break, so we're not going to really talk about them. Obviously, the only thing to talk about, and it's right there in the title, Living in Loserville. Think about this. It's been two shows now, and the Timberwolves, I mean, who knows what the hell they're ever going to win. They're going to win next, but at least they've been off for a while since we've done that. But we still don't have a W combined between these two clubs here. The main subject and the only subject that we're going to get to is the vaccine. No, it's actually the Minnesota Gophers and Patino, Mr. Patino, Patino Jr. I don't think it's a junior, but will he hang around or not? Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of talk of late, you know, when you lose seven in a row down the stretch, when your first eight games were against all ranked teams, you went 4-4, and then you go 0-7. Still didn't get a road win. This is neutral site. We're not getting a road win. That thing's over. I guess the NIT, but you got to have a winning record to get in the NIT. Maybe we could host the game. I don't even know how that's going to work. I don't think we're hosting games this year regardless. So we will center this around on Richard Pitino. Will he be gone? Will he not? Potential options for if and when he is gone. A lot of different names that most folks know around these parts. Most of them are veteran coaches. And some of them are really good names. It is kind of funny to hear Brian Dutcher and how his buyout, we'll get into that, is favored towards the University of Minnesota because he obviously has a tie. But we will get there. I mean, it's pretty amazing, like I said, down the stretch to lose all these games. So we'll get into this stuff. We'll talk about the losing and whatnot and what the hell just happened to our season. But then we'll get into the nitty-gritty, and we'll kind of hit you with an episode and get out. It won't be 50 minutes or anything like that. If this is your first time listening to the Living Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and download the show there or listen to the browser. If you don't want to, you can find this show in a variety of places. It's under the Ropeadope Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, and other folks, other places. Also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost anywhere. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, football, baseball, boxing, everything in between. And a little while back, we opened a Spricker account, Living in Loserville, and that's kind of what these two shows that we do is all about, whether it's Viking football, which, by the way, it's obviously going to get heavy. Gopher football, Gopher basketball, Timberwolves, year-round, one of those classic shows. We're going to do a classic show on Chris Carter later in the year, sometime in May, more than likely. So keep an eye on that and go ahead and subscribe to Living in Loserville at Spricker, okay? One more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you haven't, you're not quite happy, it's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. I use it myself. There's a 7-day free trial to see if you like it. Plans start as low as $55 a month. Of course, you can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. Just for signing up, you get a free week of HBO Max. Here's another layer to it. If you sign up for the Max package, that'll include HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11. That's AT&T TV Now, live streaming cable, as I mentioned. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, and see how he's doing on this March 8th day. It's pretty crazy, dude. We're coming on in a couple of days. We're coming on a full year since everything shut down, and pretty soon we were going from Gopher and Timberwolves stuff right to the Vikings, and we put the Vikings all the way to the end of spring. But man, time flies when you're having fun. I don't know if you want to call it that, but I can't believe it's already been a year.
really, I mean, when this whole thing started, we were thinking, you know, a month, 2 months, something like that. Here we are a year into the pandy, and, you know, it's kind of become the way we are. I put on some pounds. I got to work that off when the weather changes. And speaking of that, it's been like a nice little fake spring we've had here. And weather in the 40s, moving up to the 50s at times. You know, I'm a little bit timid in getting them windows open because I feel like old man winter will be back, if for nothing more than to spite us. So there we sit. But you're looking at a long losing stretch. You know, Chris, we talked about how the usual Gopher season under Pitino goes with a really good start, you know, kind of wanes in the middle and then picks up at the end. And we just kind of kept waiting this year for that to happen. And it just didn't come around.
It's funny because it really, we thought, okay, this is our little losing streak type thing. I mean, because we lost three in a row, and it's just amazing that this really happened. We talked about, you know, we made such a big deal for obvious reasons. The first eight games that we had in conference, you know, against ranked teams, and we went 4-4, sitting at a bracketology fifth seed. You're thinking, all right, dude, here we go. And then we did, you know, and I think another key thing was, you know, we lost to Michigan, then Iowa. It's like, uh-oh, here we go. But then turned around and beat Michigan at the time, their only loss. And then lost three in a row, and it's like, oh, and this is exactly what you're talking about. Here we go. But then they beat Nebraska and then beat a good Purdue-ranked team at the time. And at that time, you're thinking, dude, I think the worst is done. I think we got over that hump, and you're sitting at 13-7. And next thing you know, seven games in a row. I cannot fathom being 13-7, Aaron, and now looking at it, 13-14, not even a winning record, and 13th in the Big Ten.
Well, it was just last show that you and I were divvying up the end of the season. They're going to win this. They might win that. 3 of 4 we liked a lot. Maybe even 2 of 4 we thought, would that be good enough? I don't think any of us imagined losing to a Nebraska squad and Northwestern. And I had thought, you know, I put out there that we probably get our first road win against Penn State. And it turns out we didn't get any road wins. That's really tough to kind of stick under your hat for the year. You go with no Big Ten road wins. I can't remember the last time that's been done. I'm sure you can look it up. But it just didn't go the way we thought. We thought they'd have a hard time with Rutgers. It turns out they probably were the most competitive in that game.
Yeah, and like you said, some of these losses, Nebraska came into the game 1 of 31 in their last 32 Big Ten games. Northwestern had a 13-game losing streak. It's like you got to get a W somewhere in there, and it just didn't happen. It's pretty shocking, man. And I do want to say we haven't been dumping on Pitino on this show because – you know, you kind of look at, well, what have we done in the 2000s or even what have we done since the early 90s legally? You know, we got to the second round. There was a squad a couple years back that was a fifth seed, had some timely injuries, and then that knocked them out. But they brought the team back, basically. And a lot of folks were looking at them like a Sweet 16 team, not local media only, you know, national media. They were a good club. They were sitting at 15-3, and then all hell broke loose with that roster that had nothing to do with Pitino. So I always gave him a break, like, hey man, he built a team there, it got a fifth seed, we ran into a good team, and you know, we had some injuries, whatever, but the next year we were looking pretty good, and hey, okay, he built that team. I feel like that could have been a Sweet 16. Now maybe we get knocked out in the round of 32, but maybe we go to the Elite Eight with that lineup. So I always thought that in the back of my head. Let's not get too crazy about this because, you know, once again, we've only been to the second round since the early 90s legally twice, and that was with Tubby, and that's with Pitino. So I'm trying to, you know, we like to try to keep a balance and kind of look at it all. And, you know, I recently heard him, and I think he said this twice now in press conferences, he wants to kind of compare the last few games with some injuries. And don't get me wrong, Robbins is a major injury. We see it in some of these games. Gabe, as far as an all-around player, sure, he's good. He couldn't hit threes, but he did bring plenty to it. Johnson looked great in this last game or two, but he got a little banged up. I'm not ready to say the problem is he started talking about that Sweet 16 team. Well, it really reminds me of that. It's like, no, dude, that stuff was January 10th and January 12th. I went back and checked. That was in the start of the Big Ten run. You cannot talk about something in the last week or two and try to line that up. Yeah, it reminds me a lot. No, just over these few games. So I'm not going to let him get away with that one. Really, to be honest with you, I think there's no excuse because even the last four games, three out of the four were very winnable when you saw how they turned out. In the last 5 minutes, if you're tied, I don't want to hear, well, if we only had Robbins. Sure, I get you, but you got to win some of them.
Well, you're convincing me a little bit more than I was convinced before. I kind of leaned on the, you know, COVID weird season type of excuse, but you're right. If you're in a game and you're being competitive and you've got a chance to win it, particularly against the teams that you've, you know, you played here coming down the stretch, you got to find a way to win one, two, any of them or all of them. And it didn't come through that way. And, you know, Chris, we can sit and throw things at the wall here, and I kind of like to do that about what could have possibly happened. Obviously, this team's talented. Yes, he did have the injuries. Liam is a big injury. Gabe is also a big injury. But, you know, I can say that if you're going up against Illinois like they did, or Michigan, or Wisconsin even, but you're going up against Nebraska, you're going up against Northwestern, you're going up against Penn State, these are perennial – well, I shouldn't say that they've had good years, but usually they're down in the lower end of the Big Ten Conference. You don't want to call any win a gimme, but if you were playing well, these should be games, gift games at the end of the season to help you boost your record, ideally. And to lose, you know, three in a row, four in a row, five in a row, and you can keep going with the numbers, just doesn't add up really. And I've been picking at what could it be. Obviously, injuries have something to do with it, like I mentioned, but it can't all be injuries. It can't all be COVID. There's something else there.
Yeah, and some of this is coaching. And just real quick, because I know somebody is going to say something, and we actually thought about what year that was in the roster and all that that I'm talking about. You know, when they had their best Big Ten season in a while, they got a fifth seed. Springs was out, and Mason got hurt with that hip, and we lost the first round of the game. It happens, right? You know, but the next year, Lynch in January 10th or 12th that year, so that tells you you're in the early stages of the Big Ten. Lynch got suspended, had nothing to do with Pitino. Coffey got hurt for the whole season, nothing to do with Pitino. Our other big that was behind, of course, we still had Mason and Murphy, but Curry, who had that great freshman year because Lynch would get into some foul problems, he didn't even play a game because unfortunately for him, that's when the injury started. And then, as we know, McBrayer was hurt and his mother had passed. So he couldn't give us much on the court. So that's the year I'm talking about that he did build that up to a team. But yeah, you're right. I mean, what was wrong? Well, a lot of people say, you know, some X's and O's in there. It does feel like we do go too long without scoring. Obviously, the three-pointers. You know, sometimes in the middle of the season when you're winning and losing and winning and losing, you have, you know, five wins against ranked teams, which was tied for like Baylor, Gonzaga, and another squad, you know, a long time ago, it feels like now. It's probably 6 weeks ago. But he used to keep saying, well, they're open, they're open, they're open. They're just not knocking them down. And that is true. But now down the stretch of this season, they're leaving some of these guys open. So that's not some kind of genius X's and O's. Look at how many open shots I'm getting. They're also crowding Carr, so he'll take a hard shot if he has to, but letting some of these guys, Aaron, you know, sit out there and take threes because they're just daring you to. So you could say it's open, that's cool, but they're leaving you open because you're missing them.
And that's where you miss Robbins the most. He's that force in the middle where you can dump it in and try to get 2 points out of that. Push comes to shove. We don't have a lot of shooters on this squad besides Gabe, and he wasn't shooting well all season. Carr can shoot. Mashburn started coming on a little bit better towards the end of the season, maybe out of necessity. pushed a little farther than he probably wanted to be during his freshman season. And then Trey, you know, at times he can hit, and Johnson at times could hit too, but they're leaving you open for shots. You got to hit the shots. You know, Patino can't be out on the floor taking those shots. And yes, he can provide open shots, and it is up to the players to make those shots. But at some point in time, you know, if it ain't, if it's broke, you got to fix it. And it just never got fixed as far as shooting goes. Now, I will put a little bit there, like I said, on Robbins and just not having the floor balance that you might have had earlier in the season. But you got to find a way to create shots. And I always thought that that was Patino's strength, was, you know, finding shots for people and getting out in transition. When he's got good guards, he can do that. But, you know, if you look at the squad that lost to Michigan State, I remember was at Coffey's last year. They were pretty good in transition. They got open and they could hit shots, particularly Coffey could hit shots. But you didn't have that person this season, and you can't, you got to have more than one. Otherwise, the defense will collapse on them, like you said, and they're doing to Carr. And Carr's had a great season, but a little more balance, imagine the season he would have had.
Yeah, exactly. And he could have been fresher. There could have been a lot of parts into that. And this comes down to it. You know, does Patino have to go? He's been here for a while now. The fact that Carr may not even go pro, potentially, let's say in theory that we bring a bunch of the meaningful guys back, because that, I mean, God bless Curry in his life, you know, the rest of the way, but he even said, this is my last year of playing basketball, dude. I just can't do this to my body anymore. You know, I'm going to start to be able to not to walk and stuff like that when I'm 60 years old and stuff. But you're basically bringing potentially a squad back. So, you know, and they always talk about being old, get as old as possibly you can. And it's true. I'm not making fun of Patino for that, because it's true, especially in, you know, the best conference in the country right now. What are your thoughts on bringing him back with a super tight leash, knowing that there'd be no excuses, basically, if you brought back almost the entire roster? Because then you couldn't even say, oh, we're not old, or we're not this, we're not that, which we hear in press conferences. And like I said, he's making a good point. Where do you stand on bringing him back in general, and also thinking, well, dude, why not let this guy – he built this team. We think it's underachieving this year, but man, early in the year, not even early. I mean, you're well into February where it looked like we were a sure 5-6 seed. What are your thoughts on bringing him back and letting him coach this squad that he's built one more year? Or do you just dump him and move on and say, hey, we got talent, let's see if we can get more out of it?
I've been thinking about it all week, Chris. I don't know. To this point, I don't know. Maybe talking with you will help me out a little bit. I like Patino. I've always liked him since he started, you know, coaching here. We've had some frustrating seasons with injuries and so on. Hasn't really been consistent, but I've kind of always believed that he would get it going right. Now, we've had a nice sample size here, 8 seasons or 7 seasons. I believe it's 8, but I'm not sure. That's plenty of time. So I'm trying to take a look at it. And obviously, we've had the problems with injuries, like I said, and I've never really seen anything schematically that's really upset me with him. I didn't like the way he kind of dealt with Jelly Fam, but I understand it, and I get it. I don't know where I stand on it. I guess considering he has the same squad, and if you can try to find a year where you can kind of judge him. But then again, you got to think on the flip side of that. What could another coach do with those same parts, assuming that he has them? You know, we tend to default a lot on our shows about, well, you can get rid of him, but what about his replacement? Can you bring in someone better? And I think I kind of land there again. Patino's not a terrible coach. I think he can do good things here. But after 8 seasons, you know, you'd want to see a little bit more. So I guess if you're going to, you know, make me answer the question, I'd say we'd probably be better off moving on, just for the fact of, if you can't have a consistent program and what you want to build after 8 seasons, it's very hard to think that you would build that in 10 seasons.
Yeah, and you know, I first of all, I don't care what anybody says, he's a very solid recruiter. I think the fact that we've gotten some guys drafted tells you that. Sure, he hasn't been able to land some of these major guys, but other than that, the guys recruited, I'd say his ass off considering the situation. But do you want to get rid of him? Like you said, it's like, I am in between because he's the offensive, like defensively, he's been pretty solid almost every year. This year was like lully. Like sometimes we'd be playing great for 13 minutes and then kind of fall apart or whatever. But I haven't been in love with his offense per se, especially in the last couple of years. But it has gotten a lot of open shots and whatnot, so it's not all him. I wouldn't be let's put it this way. I wouldn't be disappointed if they brought him back. I'll say that just because I do have the patience of, well, hold on, dude. Like you said, what are we going to bring in? Now, some of those options are kind of interesting. Some of them have, you know, ties to here, obviously, the Sam Mitchells, the J.B. Bickerstaffs, the Eric Musselman, the Brian Dutcher's son, Ryan Saunders. A lot of people are heavy on Nico Medvedev, which I'm pretty heavy on, too, just off his experience. Tim Miles is a name that's going to get thrown out there for obvious reasons. Dennis Gates is another one that someone was talking about. The key one, well, there's a couple of them, Musselman and obviously Dutcher, because we'll go into some of his actually, just say it right now, he's got a $7 million buyout out of San Diego State. And the only one that can buy him out for just $1 million is the Gophers. He put that in his contract because that's his home. That's where his pops obviously you know, had some success. Now, you know, in the end, that success doesn't actually add up to – some of it doesn't add up to, you know – well, it's the Gophers, so we all know 97 didn't happen, yada, yada, yada. Obviously, John Beilein. I like him not just for recruiting, not just for coaches. I think you are in the top 10, and if he can do what he did at Michigan, top 10, top 5 almost – coach. So he only has about, I saw an interview somewhat, not that recently actually, but like he said, he's about that 4 to 5 year range. You know, he's not in his 70s, but once you get in your 70s, you know, that's usually the end of your reign or whatever. But what he did at Michigan, the turnaround that he had, I mean, he got to, I think 9 out of the 11 years, he got to the tournament, got to the national title game, just barely lost to Louisville. Got there twice, and before they were 43-53 in the Big Ten 6 seasons before that, and they really hadn't done much in general. So he would be number one on my list because I like his Princeton system where the backdoor cuts, the ball screens, the constant motion, and we were just talking about it may be a good fit for this individual club because of the constant motion. Any of those names do anything for you? But as far as we probably do got to get rid of them. I'm with you there. But I won't be super disappointed like many other folks if we gave him one more year. What would you think? We're both on the same page. He's probably got to go. But would you be down in the dirt kicking rocks if he stayed for one more year, though?
No, I wouldn't. It's going to be hard to maybe contract that for another year, but no, I wouldn't. I would be a little bit, it would definitely have to be a prove it year, like you say, and that's kind of hard to do to somebody. But, you know, if you're going to give him another year, he's going to have that squad. They're going to have to be better, and that's not saying a lot. You know, they really did start off the year really, really well and just kind of faded in the center and in the end of that season. I don't know what to, you know, as far as replacements, Chris, I do like Beilein. I kind of feel like that's pie in the sky, though. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to stare at the sun because that would be the best option as far as recruiting, as far as his system. I do like his system a lot. And just experience. The guy's been everywhere, done it. and would be a good thing for about 5 years. You're going to get out of him, like you said, at the most. So maybe that's a downside, because you can't just say, you know, this is going to be our coach for the foreseeable future. There'll kind of be a time limit on. I do like Musselman. I have a lot. But the thing I don't like about Musselman has really nothing to do with Musselman. It has to do with, you know, he's always kind of been on Twin Cities radio. He's always kind of been a thorn in Patino's side, sort of. Always going on K-Fan, always doing all this stuff. And I think he's a great coach. I think he proved that what he did at Nevada. So I would quickly get over that. But I think Musselman would be my second choice. I don't know much about Dutcher. I do like, just for fun, Trent Tucker would be pretty fun to have as a coach, just for interviews alone. We love Trent Tucker in interviews. But, yeah, I would say I would go Beilein. Probably Musselman. I don't know much about the Nico guy. I'll look into that right now. I would like to have a young coach, though. I think if you're going to have the program the way you want it, I would prefer a younger coach. It doesn't have to be 30 like Patino was, but
right.
You know, someone in their 40s, 50s, I think would be the way to go. But, I mean, I guess you go with who wins games. I mean, that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right, because Dutch is like 61, but, man, we can get 8 years out of him, and that'd just be fine, right? But the whole Patino thing is, it is funny, because I guarantee I shouldn't say no one. That's really dumb for me to say. But the amount of people that want Patino out now, in these last few weeks especially, compared to if we would have gone to the Sweet 16 a few years back, and then overachieve with that squad down the stretch and got to the second round and all that, because remember, we could have had Carr or whatever. You know, you start to go, damn, like just that little thing makes a difference, because we hadn't been to the Sweet 16 legally since like 89. Think of that's when we made the Elite Eight. So he would for sure be here. It wouldn't even be a question. And who knows, when you get to the Sweet 16, maybe you would have landed one of those big recruits. So the danger in the whole thing with, and this all strives from like coordinators for the Vikings too, you know, like three dudes, Dungy, Billick, you know, like Tomlin, like they all went and won championships. You're like, no, don't leave. Don't let him leave. Obviously this isn't a coordinator situation, but that feeling of, but wonder if he returns this team and they go to the Sweet 16 next year. Because we were talking, you know, it was a legitimate question to ask about 7 weeks ago. Can this club make it to the Sweet 16? And what I saw defensively, what I saw depth, it felt like there was a chance for that.
Yeah, Chris, I want to kind of piggyback off something you mentioned. And I know it's been one of the biggest complaints about Patino. And that's, you say he's a good recruiter, and I agree with you. But I think a lot of people don't, considering the hotbed of high school basketball we have in Minnesota and not getting some of the cream of the crop, so to speak, in state. Now, that's always a trope that goes along with coaching in a state that has talent in it. And you and I have talked a little bit off air, and I think we should just kind of talk with people on air about the fact that if you are a top five player, a top 10 player in the country, your options are so vast that it's almost, now it doesn't mean you can't get one out of 50. We talked about that a little bit too. You can get one out of 50 top 10 players if they're in your state and they're so inclined to go to the state university. But other than that, talk about guys like Suggs and so on. These guys are going to top programs. Now, I'm not saying we're not a top program or we couldn't be a top program, but we are not a top program as far as that's concerned. We're not blue blood in basketball. Now, like I said, every once in a while you're going to get a player. But to get those top line players that are coming out of the state, it's a whole different game than football. There's less players and so on. And maybe, Chris, you're a little better at elaborating on this, but I'm just sick of hearing people complain about Patino's inability to get the top players in the state.
Right, and we're talking about the coaches. The proven coaches, national championships, development, even Towns' game. Towns was basically an outside shooter before he went to Kentucky. And then made him. You know, a down low presence. Now it looks like we got to get back to making him that here at the Timberwolves again, like he was a few years back. But the amount of coaching, the amount of prestige, the amount of big games, it just, it doesn't line up. We just had a guy that what was it, just barely in the second round, barely in the first round, I can't remember, last year. I mean, it's just not as easy as you think. And yeah, if he's here for 15 years and didn't get one, well, yeah, or 10 years, didn't get one, okay. But to me, these guys are going to these programs where we can't compete. It's nice to be in the final five or the final three. And you're right, it is different than football. It's just not realistic. You gotta be realistic and consistent when you can't just come from fandom. You also can't just come from, well, I'm going to act like a media member and only go negative. You got to find a common ground in there. That's what we kind of try to do on our podcast, where we're not just going to let you walk over us. We are going to mention some shit. What the hell was that? But in the same breath, to act like you can just do it. And I think what you said too makes a lot of sense, that the development in the last 10 to 20 years in the state is much different than when we were in high school. And there is a lot of talent. And people say, well, look at Gonzaga. You know, Suggs to Gonzaga. Well, hold on now. Hold on. I know they haven't won a national championship, but they've had two coaches in the last 20 some odd years. They've been a first seed so many times. They've gone to a Final Four before. They've had a system that spits out quality players. And so to sit there and act like you're going to compete with Coach K, with Pitino, maybe we can get Beeline, maybe, because he's a vet too. And he's actually gone up against older Pitino. If older Pitino was here, then yes, I'd say he can actually land those. But it's so much more difficult than sitting at home going, what the hell? And also, your people are just blinding themselves to what he's actually done in recruiting, which has been solid, very solid, I may add.
And he has gotten Minnesota players, maybe not the top of the classes, right, but he's got Daniel Arturo, he's got Gabe Kelscher, and a number of other players that either been very successful in his program or at least got through his program like Hurt did and so on like that. But like the top line players that are coming out of the state are going to go to Duke, going to go to North Carolina, going to go to Indiana when that was a powerhouse, going to go to Gonzaga, going to go
Izzo,
to
right,
UCLA, going to go to Izzo. It's just the way it is. Remember when the Gophers were not very good and we lost all the time to Wisconsin and Notre Dame? It's the same thing. Now you just got to kind of shrink that down to a 15-man roster as opposed to a 67-man roster and what you can do. And I just don't want to hear that complaint. Yes, it would be nice if you could pull in one of these guys from time to time. But that's a tall ask for anyone, particularly Pitino. So I'm not going to shoulder him with that part of his team's or his program's success. I forgot the original question you did ask as I kind of dovetailed off. But, you know, another year with Pitino wouldn't be the worst thing.
Oh, yeah,
in the
that's
world.
What it was. That's what it was.
Right. Another thing with Pitino, I wouldn't be upset with it. I'd be a little apprehensive, and I think there'd be a lot of critical eye on that year. But if you got to make a break or you're thinking about it or it's in the news like this, it might just be time to make a break and maybe start over a new leaf and wish Pitino well. He's been good for the program, good for the school, good for the state. And I think it'd be tough to see him go, like you said, because, you know, maybe he goes to UCLA or something like that, has a bunch of success. But, I mean, that's good for him. And, it just didn't work out that way here. And maybe we move on and try something else.
Yeah, and giving him, the only reason why is just because the amount of, even if Carr doesn't come back, the amount of players that have now played in the system over the last 2 years that are coming back. I mean, Johnson already said he's coming back. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we literally, and I don't know if Carr's coming back or not. You know, we don't know that, but there's a good chance he will. There's a chance he won't. I don't know. But I think that would be the ultimate. Here you go, dude. You got your older players. You got your veteran players. You got guys that this is your squad. There's no excuses. Just go out. But, yeah, to lose seven in a row, to be 13-14, not to take it from you, Common, but 13-14, that's just disgusting, and that's kind of a fireable offense. I don't really care what happened in the last, 2 weeks or whatever with some injuries. That played a part, but we already went over that. The last 5 minutes, the game was tied. So you got to find a way to coach them up some way, somehow. Next week, By the by, I want to get this out there. We are not going to do a Timberwolves show. I know you're all bummed out, super bummed. No, but it's going to be Vikings for a little bit. It might be back-to-back shows for Vikings. Obviously, we know there has been some movement. Rudolph got cut and all that. So we are going to go Vikings the next show, maybe the next one after. Kind of matters how heavy stuff happens and how many extensions and cuts or whatever happen in this next like 2 week span. So we're going to go Purple People Eaters maybe early next week, maybe mid. It kind of matters on the, because seven, you know, by in about 8 days, it's 9 days, it is the new year with the free agency and we'll know the cap exact number. So we'll give you a little Timberwolves break and let them play. I think they pick up here Thursday. We'll let them play a handful of games so we can give you something as far as recap and breaking stuff down and something we see, yada, yada, yada. But I did want to make sure to tell you guys that we are going to go Vikings heavy probably the next two shows, get back to the Timberwolves. Before you know it, it's going to be late April, and we'll be having our draft preview post-draft and all that good stuff. But any last words, sir, points you want to make or whatever, sir?
Well, before we get going, I want to kind of add in a little Timberwolves thing here. Chris, they're on an eight-game break. What do we expect coming out of that break? Now, some of the expectations are that seven-game is going to be a mini training camp, and they're going to come out firing and so on and so forth. I'm a little bit dubious about that. But quickly, what do we expect coming out of that breakout? You want to think that they're going to come out with system in hand, ready to go, firing. But history shows that's probably not going to be the case. So I really feel like just win a few more games is kind of my expectation.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing. Even if we fire off some wins, it's not because we got the whole thing down pat, right, offensively. So I think it helps. I mean, in a year like this, when you play four games, seven nights, four games, six nights, three games, and four nights, that means no practice. And we've been needing practice just in general with the new pieces, even before a coaching change. Now we're talking about a coaching change. So I don't have an expectation for the first, say, few weeks, to be honest with you. I really don't. But I do want to – we will talk in the coming weeks, though, probably in 2-3 weeks, about, okay, let's look at these last 30 games and what do we want to accomplish, kind of like we did a while back. But, yeah, it's I'm not really even honing in on, you know, system in hand type thing, you know?
All right. Well, fair enough. Follow us on Instagram.
How about you?
Well, you know – like I said, I would love to see Lynch put in something that the players can get behind and they can come out and be competitive and maybe win a few games, you know, with a system that you can look and see a tangible difference in the way they're playing and the style of play. Now, I think that's a lot to ask in an 8-day break, but I do want to see a little bit more of what Finch wants to do. And I'm excited to see that coming down the stretch of the season. I don't think they're going to probably win more than a third of those games, but I want to have a good idea of what direction they're headed.
I mean, if we won a third of those games, I'd be like, holler at me, dude. I love this team. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you're right. It's just so, even if they end up winning some games early on, I don't think it'll have a ton to do. I think it'll just be they're finally getting over the hump in some of these close games or whatever. Of late, it has been a little bit uglier as far as closing game, or not even closing games, but being able to have it to where you can close a game. It's been some blowouts here of late. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, I'm not looking for a big change. But, yeah, even little minor stuff, tweaks. Yeah, I agree. I do want to see that down the stretch, no doubt.
Well, go ahead and follow us on Living Loserville on Instagram. Follow us on the new Spricker page. And anywhere else you find your podcast, we'll be there on both platforms. And let's just hope that we can see, you know, quickly the late game thing that you brought up to me is the real key. I want to see how Finch handles late game situations in comparison to how Saunders did.
There you be. All right, we'll be back next week, Vikings. Peace.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.